Good morning. Welcome to the worship service, those that are in the sanctuary, those that are viewing online. It's such a great day that we get a chance to take and gather together and have that wonderful thing called humidity, just as a reminder of God's wonderful gift of rain so that the desert becomes watered. I'm Pastor Craig Larson. I would normally say, and there's Pastor Mike Sager, but he's not going to be here this weekend. Just for that wonderful information, Kristen's birthday was last week, as well as their anniversary. And so, yes, pastors do have lives outside of church. And so I always give that invitation. If you want to leave, you know, because it's just me, go ahead. Just make sure you drop off your offering. I forget this is recorded. Hello, welcome to you people online. But that's one of the greatest. And let me first of all say congratulations to all of you. We have officially, because next weekend is Labor Day weekend, we've made it through another summer in Green Valley. So just to put that out there as well. Because, you know, here's the thing. At Desert Hills, they're ready, aren't you? We celebrate and we make who really do make a difference. Who? And you really do. Now, Saturday didn't have any trouble with that. No. But anyway, it's always good to come and gather as truly we celebrate what God continues to do in and amongst and around us. And the blessings that you are to people in our in your community and in all and even beyond. So thank you for the blessing that you are as we get a chance to recognize the source of all life. Just a couple of announcements. Note that, speaking of life, note that Tuesday we're going to be sponsoring the blood drive for the Red Cross. It's Tuesday from 8:30 to 1:30. If you are able to do, please make an appointment by using the 1-800-RED-CROSS. Saturday, September 9th at Quail Creek Veterans Municipal Park is the annual Hunger Walk. It's a great opportunity to support not only those that are walking, but ability to take and alleviate that little bit of hunger. Note that the registration forms are at the welcome desk as well as at the desk that's by the church office as you walk in, to take that opportunity to take and support in that way. Today we actually get to celebrate Pastor Sarah Gunderson. She graduated from seminary this spring, and has been accepted and has been ordained and is receiving her first call at Zion Lutheran Church in Superior, Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin. But we pray for Sarah. She was actually one of our scholarship recipients through the foundation, and so we've been involved in her seminary career as she prepares to be that servant of God in Wisconsin. Because next weekend is the first weekend of the month, we are going to, again, be collecting food for the food bank. Please note that the bins will be down the hallways. This is one of those excellent opportunities to open up your pantries and look for those things that you bought and decided that, you know what, I guess we're not going to use. Because, of course, the food bank can use those wonderful gifts and will continue to take and feed our community. Please, again, if you are the first time visiting here, please stop by the welcome desk. It's a wonderful opportunity to not only to see and to meet and to get to know you, but also to take and see what's going on here at Desert Hills. This wonderful half sheet of paper that has the schedule about what's coming this week, as well as on the other side is a notations of the sermon that I think I was going to preach 2 weeks ago. So some highlights from that as well. So please share that. And if you've got neighbors and friends that have been asking about Desert Hills, just tell them and maybe pick up a piece of paper and take and deliver it to them as well. I think that's the announcements for this morning. Let's continue our service with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that you have called us, you have gathered us, you have brought us here to this place and this time. Lord, we pray for those who are here in the sanctuary that we continue to take and see and know and believe in that community of faith that you have created. God, we pray for those who are viewing us online. And wherever they are at, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would enter into their hearts and into their lives to help them to know that they are part of this worship because, oh God, you have claimed and called all of us to be your children. God, we pray this day that you would give us the strength that we need and that we know as we look to the week ahead. Help us in our worship to give you our praise and our thanksgiving for the grace and love and mercy that you have first given us and have shown us because of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we gather. It is in his name we worship. And it is his name we pray. In his most amazing name. Amen. Please stand as we sing our opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And also with
you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who are here, they offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father,
God, with your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, so that we may gladly minister to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, starting with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for that was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Second scripture reading is a continuation of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, starting with verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The Gospel of the Lord.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart here this morning in the sanctuary as well as online be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, we do pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. It's so good to come and we gather here in this place to be reminded about how God continues to operate through his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And on his rock is our church, truly that foundation that allows us to grow and mature and to be those children of God, giving that comfort to the world. But today I get a chance to take and see that emotional Jesus. One of the things that as we read Scripture, and I know it's Scripture because it's like somebody, when they were writing this stuff down, decided we're going to make the Jesus without any emotions. And so every once in a while, when you get that picture of Jesus being that prophet walking the streets and going, oh, so every once in a while when there's some emotion, I go, ah, that's the Jesus that I like. That's the Jesus that I know. And so today we get a chance to see a little bit of that. It's about halfway through the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus has been hanging out with his disciples now for quite a while. They have witnessed, they have seen, they have experienced what it is to be about his being one of his disciples. And so Jesus takes this opportunity. He says, okay, guys, who do people say that I am? You know, what are people saying as they're following? Are they getting it? What are you hearing? What are you hearing? And so they start to tell him. Well, some think that you're John the Baptist. Well, the only way he would be John the Baptist is if he was John the Baptist reincarnated, because at this point we know John the Baptist is dead. But people are thinking, you know, John was such a great prophet. He was actually that inspirational leader, that maybe this one is another one, or his spirit reincarnated. And then some others would say, well, there's Elijah. Well, Elijah was that prophet that was foretold that in order for the Messiah to come, Elijah would have to show up and really prepare the way. And so in many ways, we talk about John the Baptist and Elijah being that kind of character and that kind of prophecy fulfillment. And then they were saying, and then some other people just think you're another one of them prophets that just show up every once in a while, like Jeremiah. You know, you just those holy guys that have that word that comes from God, that they're able to share it and encourage it. So is Jesus sitting there going, okay, I hear that. And then he says, he turns to his disciples, the ones who have been hanging out with him the most, the ones that have been eating and sleeping, the ones that have witnessed the teaching, the miracles, the inspirational words, and seeing the hope-filled crowds. He says to them, okay, guys, with all of you've seen, who do you say that I am? And a few weeks ago, Pastor Mike was talking about when you're at a meeting or something and somebody asks you to pray and suddenly everybody looks down because you don't want to be called on. Can you imagine the disciples going, who's going to say anything? And finally, God bless him, Peter. I mean, come on. If somebody's going to say something, it's going to be Peter. And he yells out and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus has to go something like, yes, they get it. They finally get it. They understand it. Yay! It's kind of like if you're a teacher or even with your kids and they finally get something, you'll go, oh, they have been paying attention. They know how to do this. And Jesus is so excited. He says, oh, Peter, on you, that rock, that belief, that's what I'm going to build my church on. And it goes on and on and on and on because Jesus is so excited that somebody gets that he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yay! You know what's coming. You've heard it for years. Here's Peter. He's thinking so good. Man, did I give the right answer? I'm top of the class. I'm his number one. And he's sitting there going and getting all of this excitement. And Peter thinking, I'm going to be in charge of all the rest of the disciples. I can tell. I've got my name in lights. And he goes ahead and is experiencing that. And Jesus says, okay, now I'm going to tell you the rest. You've got the message. Now I'm going to tell you the rest. That I am going to have to go to Jerusalem, where I will be persecuted, I will be flogged, I will be killed. And then he does add that rise again. But at that point, Peter doesn't hear that last part, because how can you even understand that? And so with his newfound prestige, he pulls Jesus off to the side and says, and rebukes him. Yeah, that'll go over well, won't it? Like literally, if you're a student and you did the right answer and now you're going to rebuke the teacher. He pulls him off and says, Jesus, that's not ever going to happen to you. I'm not going to let that happen. You will not die because I will not allow it. And then Jesus gives that wonderful line and saying, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. Huh? Anybody else experiencing whiplash? Think about Peter. Here he is. He's at the top of highest mountain. Yes, I'm going to be his number one. And now he's calling him Satan. I mean, there's not too many extremes that you can have besides those two. And so it's one of those things of where how in the world do you react? How in the world does Peter go from the topest of the mountains to the lowest of the low in that moment? And one of the things that I've caught and understood is that what Jesus, because how could this be that foundation? How could that be the same one who is not only doing the experiences today, but will eventually deny our Lord three times that he even knows him? How can this be the one that the church's foundation is built upon? And then I read it closer. And we get so opposed to all the keys of the kingdom and who's getting in and who's getting out. But did you catch that? Number one, Peter, God is the one who revealed this to you because you didn't figure it out on your own. And then Jesus says, and this rock is what I'm going to build my church on. This rock. What is that rock? It is that foundation of knowledge of knowing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. That word, that message, that strength, that foundational belief that allows us to know that that is what our church is built upon. That is what our relationship with God is built upon. Is those words, that this truly is that message of God that comes through his Son, that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is in that word that we build our foundation. It is in that word that we get our strength to continue to persevere through the life and breath that we are able to take and do and accomplish in every single week. One of the things that you realize is it's always dangerous when I go this way because this is one-way communication. I'm very aware that I'm up here preaching and it's not fair. Okay, so too bad, so sad. Oh, and we're online too, okay? Depending on who I'm talking to, I ask, so What is your foundational belief? What is that belief that is so much a part of you that everything else can be built upon? What is that foundational place and time where you have structured your godly life and that relationship that you continue to take and have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And some will say, and hear me out, don't start throwing things. Some will say that their foundational belief is in the Bible. And depending who I'm talking to, I say, okay, but maybe go a little bit deeper than that. And I'm not telling you what to believe and what is your foundational belief. Please know that, okay? But I bet it would be something, if I pushed you far enough, being the kind pastor that I am, it would be something to the effect of, I believe that God loves and knows and cares about me. That God loves me, cares, and loves, knows, and cares about me. Because with that foundation, it can't be shaken. Because it is God who is giving you that ability to believe in that promise that allows us then with that foundation to see and look at the scriptures as those ways of magnifying and understanding what God has first implanted to us in that firm foundation, sounds like a hymn, that we have because of our Lord. It is in that gift that we have that we're able to take and know that we have been claimed and called by Him. And now there's another part to that, because we have that foundation. Yes, sometimes it rattles a little bit. Sometimes it's shaken just a little bit, but it's still there. And here's one of the great things that we have is think about you being in that foundational place of where you're solid, and when you run into someone who is not just questioning, but is like literally needing that extra assurance to know that they have been claimed and called by God. Where we have one foot on the firm foundation that God gives to us and the other foot in the world where we're allowed to take and make, yes, make a difference to people's lives, to be that time and that process of where we're able to take and be that strength when somebody else isn't. It leads right into the, and I'm not done yet, but I got to do it anyway. The dig deeper. The dig deeper for this day. Remember a time when you were sinking and just needed someone else to be your firm foundation. Think of that time when you needed to hear that word, that experience, that blessed hand reaching out to be reminded of whose you are. You see, that's what we believe in. That's what we understand this foundation to be. It's not that we're so great. It's not that Peter's so great. It's not that the church is so great. But it is because we have a Savior the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Messiah that has come into the world to give us that encouragement that we need every moment and every day to know that we matter to God, and that foundational belief that Peter declared, even when he didn't know what he was saying, truly is that true foundation, because it is on Jesus's rock, that truly that foundation is made and created, that we can have that strength that comes from believing that promise. Today, know that as you go from this place, you have a firm foundation. Sometimes it might not seem like it, but you have a firm foundation in the belief that God has created you and God cares for you and knows you. So yes, his church, God's church, is built on a firm foundation. Because it truly is because of and through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ that we can have the confidence to live our lives with feet firmly planted, both on that foundation, but yes, a little bit off to help those who obviously continue to that come to us during the week that need that sense of care and comfort and reassurance of God being their firm foundation. Amen. Almighty God, we come before you this morning to continually be reminded of that when the world is crumbling around us, when issues of health and wondering start to enter into our minds, help us, Lord, to know that you are the one that gives us the confidence and you are the one that has always been there to give us that foundation in order to take and realize that we can, with God's help, deal with anything that comes before us because out of your great care and love, you have committed yourselves to your children. We pray this always in your Son's most holy name. Amen. We continue by singing our hymn.
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will now have the gathering of offerings. The psalmist proclaims in Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, our prayers, our gifts of time, and the ability to proclaim your good news to a world that is in need of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We remember those who have recently died, including Erica Poole, Robert Essie, and Mike Hoy. O Lord, receive them into the arms of your eternal love. We pray that you would be with the family and friends who grieve. May they always know the resurrection and the peace that passes all human understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for all who continue to be on our prayer list. We silently pray now to bring our own cares and concerns before you. And we pray for those who we know to be in special need of your care and compassion, Lane and Sherry Peterson, and the Hoke Hansen family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we continue to pray for the people in Maui that are facing the challenges of a real sense of loss. Be with them as they go about trying to put their lives together. Be with those who are being the helping hands, those who are searching, those who are feeding, and those who are just giving comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, you are our rock and our salvation. Give us your strength as we face the challenges that come to us this week. Help us to know that no matter what, you are there, giving us what we need in that moment of our lives. Help us to listen to your words because of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand as we join our hearts and our voices to sing together the prayer that Jesus has taught us.
Thank you.
We pray that the service has been a blessing to you and for those that are online as we continue to live out the promise that God makes that journey with us in every moment of every day. Hear the blessing this morning. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing hymn.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.